The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Oh, once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rock,
just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, 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 Nicole.
Yeah, just like that's that. How you describe us. None of that hard stuff. None of that soft stuff. just in between, I suppose. Okay, welcome to a Thursday. I am Nicole Sandler, coming to you live here from South Florida, or Florida, as I call it. But, these days we're no more duh than so many other states. Oh, boy, there's a lot going on today. And Howie Klein will be here. So part of what's going on I'm going to save for him, because there's some criticisms of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, which, as we've learned, is not as progressive as it used to be or as it should be. But we'll get there. I don't even know where to begin. I guess we begin with yesterday. I don't know about you, but I kind of loved yesterday's show. I loved talking to Tanya, seeing her in person, seeing her face, instead of just, I've been texting with her over the Telegram app for the last 50 days or thereabouts. And I was heartened to see her smile and to see that she's feeling at least a little better, right? I mean, look, she and all of her fellow Ukrainians are... they've got to be suffering some kind of post-traumatic stress, or not post, but current traumatic stress, because this is still going on. This is still happening to them. So I've told you for a few days, I'm assembling a package to put together for her now that you've met her, sort of. If you want to enclose a note, you still have time to get it in to Tanya. She's now in Dubai, but send me an email, nicole@nicolesandler.com, with whatever you want to write to her. I'll print it out and enclose it in the package. And just so you know, I'm putting a piece of my art that's sunflowers in the Ukrainian colors with a blue background. Not what's behind me. I should have brought it in here. It's in the other room. And then listener Joy, made her, the necklace and earrings, the sunflower necklace and earrings. And I've got notes from a few of you. And I know how much she appreciates it. In fact, what she wrote this morning was, my dear Nicole, I thank God and you for the opportunity to give people information. I am happy that we met you, hugging you. And I explained that, everybody, that you guys loved hearing from her too. And that a few of you wrote a note. I'm sending her a package. And she wrote, it's just incredibly nice. So look, we could all use some kindness. That's the one thing when you feel like the whole world is collapsing around you. Kindness from people, strangers and friends alike, goes a long way. So anyway, if you want to, how long will a package take to get to Dubai? Good question, Joy. Well, there are a few carriers that go there, most of which I'm not familiar with. UPS does go there, but I'm not using UPS because for like a light package, it's going to be about $80 and it could take up to 3 weeks. Now, the U.S. Postal Service for the same package will charge, I think it's $27. That was the cheapest I found. And it could take anywhere from a week to 4 weeks. So who knows? Your guess is as good as mine on that one. But nonetheless, I feel like I got to do something. It's the least I could do. So the news today is pretty lousy. I mean, the news out of Ukraine is just terrifying because it looks like Putin is just amassing troops again, this time all surrounding the east, the Donbas region. And it looks like they're planning a major attack there. And the people that are trapped there, it kills me. Now, in the morning... when I wake up, I turn on CNN, and I do that mostly because, if I could just find a straight news show, I guess I would. But CNN, I like Brianna Keeler, who is one of the co-hosts, and I can't I can't watch Morning Joe. I just can't go there. So, God, I'm trying to bring up this video, and why won't it open now? This is weird. So anyway, this morning I'm watching, and Breonna Keeler is in Ukraine. I think CNN is rotating all of their anchors there, so they each spend, you know, a week or two, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. So anyway, now it's Breonna Keeler who's there, and God, I just want to bring up this video to show it to you, and will it let me? It still won't let me. I have the circle spinning around, and I don't know why it's doing that. All right, maybe I can do it a different way. Anyway, I was going to show you a clip from this morning, not the whole piece, because, well, it went on for over 8 minutes. But it was really kind of awesome, where Breonna Keeler was, okay, let's see, it still didn't stop spinning. Damn it. All right. I wonder if I could bring it up directly from Twitter. I bet I can. Anyway, she recounted just, it's hard to explain without just coming out and saying it. And I really just don't want to come out and say it. But about all the kids being killed. And she broke down, as you would expect. I mean, my goodness, if I was telling the story she was telling, I'd break down too. And in fact, watching her, I did as well. Okay, hold on. I got to see if I can bring this window up now. Can I? All right. Can I bring it over there? You know, it's days like this that I wish I had like a technical producer so I could, you know, had someone else running the board. All right, let me just share a few minutes. I'm going to skip around in this rather than play the whole thing, and I'll post it on the blog where I post the show if you care to see the whole thing. It is certainly worth watching. But here's a little bit of it.
This war in Ukraine is stolen childhood on an unimaginable scale. You saw that stroller in the aftermath of the attack.
This war in Ukraine is now, stolen childhood. Oh, great. Now it's coming back on.
And wounded 16 other kids. We've seen parents writing personal and contact information on their children's bodies in case they are orphaned. That's according to the New York Times. And UNICEF says that nearly two-thirds of the kids in this country have been displaced from their homes, fleeing their cities for safer parts of Ukraine, fleeing Ukraine for safer parts of the world. But some never made it. 12-year-old Veronica died in Chernihiv as her family tried to escape shelling. Russian forces hit their car. As Veronica tried to run for safety, her mother told the BBC that she was killed as a shell came down near their car.
Can you imagine?
In Kherson, according to ITV, five-week-old Vanushka and his six-year-old sister Sophia died when Russian soldiers at a checkpoint riddled their family's car with bullets. Mm. ITV told their story.
And I'm not going to play this whole thing for you right now because it's just so heartbreaking. I want you to watch it. But again, this runs 8 minutes, and I'm not going to take up 8 minutes to play a CNN video. But I will embed it on the blog at NicoleSandler.com/4-14-22, today's date. But you'll see right here, here's where Breonna Keeler shows her humanity.
10-year-old Anastasia Stoluk, Nastya as she was known, died in Shibane, which is north of Kyiv. Her cousin told the Times of London that Russian soldiers shot their weapons at random. They struck and they killed Nastya. 18-year-old Makita Parabenis and his 9-year-old sister Elisa, they died with their mother in Irpin. The New York Times capturing the moment that a Russian mortar struck a known evacuation route used by civilians fleeing the suburb of Kyiv.
And it goes, oh my God, just watching it is terrifying, you know?
Shit. Makita and Elisa's dad says he learned of their death after seeing a photo of their bodies on Twitter because he recognized the luggage that was lying next to them.
Oh, my God.
He spoke to CNN's Aaron Burnett.
Okay, and I'm going to go forward. I just want you to hear how she ended this segment because she was in tears throughout the whole thing, as you can imagine, as I would have been, because she's human. So here's the end of the piece.
She shelled the building where she was staying, and she was wearing unicorn pajamas. Isn't it? as an ambulance rushed her to the hospital where she died. So many have been injured. So many others. 15-year-old Masha. Pardon me. From a small town near Zaporizhia. She had her right leg amputated above the knee. She had her right hand shredded by shrapnel, according to investigative reporter Tanya Kozireva.
It's a town where there is no military base and there is no military objects. And she just caught the shrapnel into her body while walking around her town with her mother.
Oh, my God.
Russian forces shelled the car that 11-year-old Milana was riding in as she escaped Mariupol with her family. According to Kozareva, the head of the intensive care unit where she has been treated, says that many of his Russian friends, they don't believe the pictures. Mm. They do not believe that the pictures of these kids are real.
Unreal.
They think they are fabricated by the Ukrainians. But they are real. Veronica, Vanushka, Sophia, Nastya, Makita, Alisa, Paulina, Sophia, Semyon, Stepan, Sasha, Kirill, Masha, Milana, and so many others whose names we don't know. We'll be right back.
Brianna Keeler, I give her so much credit that she made it through that segment, tears and all. I saw that as she did it live this morning with tears streaming down my face. And the people in Russia don't believe their family members in Ukraine that this is happening. That's tragic. That's just tragic. So today, Joe Biden was, you know, heading out to the helicopter to go somewhere. And one of the reporters asked him about a visit to Ukraine. I'm going to crank it up, see if you can hear what he says.
Will you send senior officials to Ukraine?
Well, we're making that decision now. Thank you.
Who would you send?
What was the reason?
Are you ready to go?
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, what you couldn't hear is the reporter said, who would you send? And Biden was already walking away towards the helicopter. He turned around. He said, you ready to go? And she said, yeah, are you? And he said, yeah. Not that it means anything, because, you know, I think he would be prevented from going to a war zone, but what do I know? And with his the approval ratings, which I just don't understand, frankly, I don't. Maybe he'd want to do something like that to try to get the ratings up. It makes no sense to me. We are in such a precarious time in history right now, watching the rise of these right-wing crazies, not only here, but around the world, right? We're seeing in France, Marine Le Pen is back. So they had the first round, I guess the primary as it were, in France the other day. And yes, what's his name? Macron finished ahead of Le Pen, but they came in 1 and 2. So in 2 weeks, they go for the runoff. And it depends. There were like 8 other candidates or something. So it depends where all of their supporters go. This could go either way. And what I read this morning in a few places is that Macron has the same problem that Biden has, which is motivating the left to get out and vote. Macron is by no means progressive. You know, you can compare him to Joe Biden. He's not a progressive either. But what they can't do is get the progressives to say, all right, we got to band together to vote against the crazy fascist. And instead, they're like, I'll just stay home. Well, just staying home is a vote for the crazy fascists. So you might have Marine Le Pen, it pains me to say this, succeeding Emmanuel Macron in France. This could happen in 2 weeks. It could happen in 2 weeks. We see what's happening here. We see what's happening in Ukraine. We see what's happening around the world. But, you know, let's concentrate on what's happening here. So today, my, you know, Trump wannabe of a governor, moron death sentence, signed a new 15-week abortion bill into law. No abortions after 15 weeks, no exception for race, for rape, incest, or even horrible embryonic deformalities and stuff. No out for, you know, a fetus that's deformed, that has problems. That's not even good enough. And you want to hear what this piece of shit said as he's signing this piece of shit legislation? Wait till you hear this. Hold on. Where is he? DeSantis. There it is. This will, if it doesn't blow your mind, I will, you know, I don't know what I'll do. But it will blow your mind. But it shouldn't. Just know that DeSantis and the rest of his ilk are liars. Just like Vladimir Putin is lying to his people, Donald Trump, remember, he emulates Putin. He thinks he's a genius. And so, oh, Allison, I'm on the line. I'm on the air, baby. I can't talk right now. Sorry. No. Sorry. That was my kid calling. You know, the lying is their, is what they do. They can't get by telling the truth, so they lie about everything. It's not enough that they have a lot of religious zealots, you know, screaming about the unborn child. Well, it's not a child. If it's unborn, it's a fetus. And at the early stages, before 6 weeks, it's a zygote. It's not a human being. It's a cell. But this guy, he can't just say, look, I'm giving you what you want. He has to lie. Listen to this load of crap.
And if you look what's going on in certain segments of our society, particularly amongst people who are affiliated with the far left,
yeah,
of our political spectrum, of course, that's overrepresented in places like Hollywood,
oh, please,
in the media, and obviously in one of our major political parties. But they are now taking the position that babies can be aborted up to the ninth month.
What? What?
Literally,
what?
You can go back for you parents, and those are some of the most significant experiences of my life, to hold your child for the very first time. What they would say is, parent holding that child, if you just go back a day or two, then you would have been able to snuff the child out entirely.
Bullshit.
That's bullshit. What the fuck?
That is infanticide.
No, you are a fucking liar. Did you hear what he... Oh, so they want abortion to be legal through the ninth month. Like, to just a day or two before the baby is born, they want to just say, oh, you can snuff out that life.
Bullshit.
That is such bullshit. And all these idiots standing around go, oh, yes, you know, oh, thank God we're preventing that from happening. Where do they get this shit? And how are these people around him so fucking stupid that they believe it? The only time a third trimester abortion is even considered is when it's the health of the mother is at risk. And the fetus is so horribly deformed or mangled or not well that it would not survive anyway. Nobody is supportive of abortion. Nobody was, it's like, hey, I'm going to go get an abortion today. It's a very difficult decision that women make, you fucking piece of shit. Death sentence. And we don't take it lightly. Thankfully, I've never had an abortion. I've never been pregnant, luckily, because there were times I should have been. My child is through adoption. And so I understand the value of life. Thank God that Allison's birth mother didn't abort her. But there are times when it's up to a woman to decide what happens with her body. And for that piece of shit to stand up there surrounded by women and children and lie like that and nobody calls him out? How do they get away with that shit? And this is what's happening. And so now in Florida and so many other states around the country, these abortion laws our abortion bills are now law. And we're the ones who suffer. And the children, frankly, because if you're forced to carry a pregnancy to term and it's a child that you are not ready for, you know you can't support, and yet you're forced to carry that child, and then it's born and you know, now you have a human being. Now it's a child. Now it's an actual person. And you have to take care of that person and you can't. You've heard the phrase, love the fetus, hate the child, because those same Republicans, moron death sentence, doesn't want to help you out when you can't get a job and you can't feed that child. Then it's all your fault. I'm mortified that this is going on today in America. You know, watch The Handmaid's Tale. When The Handmaid's Tale first came on, and it's on Hulu, it was right, I think, in like Trump's first term in office, right around then. And I seriously had a difficult time, to put it more bluntly. I had a bit of a nervous breakdown. People who listened to the show back then, and you could have been here, you might have noticed it. And if you didn't, then I don't think you were listening very carefully, because I was a mess. I couldn't function. My heart was racing all the time. I was shaking. I couldn't put three words together to make a sentence. You know, I talk. I don't read a script. But back then, I had to script out every single word because I couldn't get through a show without knowing exactly what I was going to say because my brain wasn't functioning. I was so depressed and I was so freaked out by what was happening in our world that I couldn't, on my own, just as I normally do, couldn't make it through a show. So I would script out everything. When I had a guest on, I would write a long list of questions because I didn't trust myself to be able to carry on a conversation as I do now. I don't pre-write my questions when I interview someone because I have a conversation with them. So it was really, really difficult. And I don't even know why I got on the subject. It's just, we're all suffering now. And this stuff, The Handmaid's Tale, that's how I got on it. So I started watching it, and about three episodes in, I stopped because it was too, it hit too close to home. It was too scary. And if you don't know the story, it's a future, it's a very dystopian future. America is no longer America. It's now, what's the name of the fictional, Iliad. I'm drawing a blank. It'll come to me when I'm not thinking of it, or someone in the chat will tell me. But the United States had a new name, whatever it was called. I'm blanking. In this new America, it's a religious cult runs the country, and women, because of biology, Gilead. That's it, Gilead. Thank you, Pamela Road. Giles, but Gilead, that was it. Gilead. So in Gilead, the religious nuts controlled the society. And there were commanders and the commanders and their wives who had trouble conceiving because it was hard to conceive a child would get the services of a handmaid to impregnate and carry their child. So the husband, the commander, would impregnate the handmaid, who's basically a slave. Who did they choose for the handmaids? These were the women who had committed adultery or had a child out of wedlock or something like that. And they would snatch them off the street and enslave them in these commanders' households. And they would have a ceremony around the time when she'd be ovulating where they'd lay her down on the bed and the wife would sit behind her while the husband impregnates her. And then to be forced to carry the baby for these people. It was all about furthering the human race, but it was making these slave women carry the children. And God forbid you ever got an abortion. I mean, it was so chilling, but it felt like that's where we were headed. And it feels like that's where we're headed again. The fact that in 2022, 26 states, if I remember the number correctly. And if I'm wrong, I may be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But it is in that neighborhood. Somewhere around 26 states have enacted laws like they did today in Florida. Well, now, the thing is, it's not enforceable now because the Supreme Court ruling on Roe v. Wade still stands. They're passing this legislation waiting for the Supreme Court decision on the case they heard out of Mississippi where they overturn Roe v. Wade. And at that moment, then all of these state laws go into effect, criminalizing abortion, not just outlawing it, but criminalizing it. And here's where the disbelief comes in. Well, it's all, I'm in disbelief of all of it. But here's where the really creepy part, well, it's all creepy. This is where the fucked up part comes in. If you look at generic polling, the Republicans are favored to, in generic balloting, for the Republican candidate to beat the Democratic candidate. Joe Biden's polling is lower than Trump's ever was. Are you fucking kidding me? This is what society wants. And again, it's not just here. It's not just here. It's around the world. You know, I have, it is probably a non sequitur and I probably shouldn't play it, but I think I will anyway, because we need to lower the temperature before I bring Howie Klein in here. My favorite family of singing Brits is back. So, or maybe they're not. Because, oh, there it is. Okay, so the Marsh family. You know, I featured this family all through the pandemic. They're an incredible family based in Kent in England. And they sang these song parodies. And throughout the pandemic, they were doing it about the pandemic. But the song, they released a song today. And it's about inflation. I bring this up because inflation, yes, it's killing us here, right? But it's not just here. This is a global problem. It's a global problem. It's not Joe Biden's fault, and he can't entirely fix it because it's everywhere. It's the supply chain. It's COVID. It's the war. It's a combination. It's all the stars aligning. But here's this family from the UK singing about the prices that they can't afford the stuff they need. It's not just here. These people are in England.
He said, calm, go, 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 go.
That was really good.
Bank saving.
No one has its 2020.
Inflation's there too. Can't pay that. The Marsh family. They're in the UK.
You know they,
that. That was really good.
I'm leaving it on because they do a little tribute on the screen.
Managing to improvise a high harmony going.
So they put up on the screen a tribute dedicated to the inimitable legends, Meatloaf and Jim Steinman. I wanted to make sure we got that in there. The Marsh family. See? The inflation isn't just here. It's global. It's not all Joe Biden. Stop it. Okay, now it's time for those Dirty Debbies. I can use a stiff one right about now.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
little cookies. Tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm doing okay. It's just, you know, times are weird. The idiot that we have here in Florida as a governor is he just signed this abortion, like a 15-week abortion bill into law. But as he signed it, he put up a he lied in the signing ceremony, and he said, you know, those far left people who are, and of course cast aspersions on liberals, they want the right to abort a baby through the ninth month. They want, I can't even paraphrase it because it's so offensive. You didn't hear this?
Basically, he's saying they want to take the baby out of the womb and kill it.
Yes, that's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said.
That's falsely.
It's insane. Hmm. So, yeah. And this is just one of how many states where they're where they're putting these laws into effect, outlawing abortion, just waiting for the day in June when the Supreme Court comes back with their decision on the case they heard a couple of months ago, the Mississippi case that will overturn Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of astounding, but that's where we are right now, and it's depressing. So, anyway,
you let it get you down and get very depressed. I was just talking to a friend of mine who is in that same state, you know, just really, really down. She can't talk with her husband about it, so she calls me.
Oh, she can't talk. See, that's horrible. So, but why can't she talk with her husband about it? Because he sympathizes.
She would spend all day, every day, talking about nothing but that.
Oh, my God.
He's pretty sympathetic. I mean, politically, he's on the same plane that she is, but it's too much.
Gotcha.
You know, and, yeah.
Yeah. I'm amazed at how we are backsliding in time. You know, I thought, oh, it's the 21st century. At least we have the right to control what happens with our own bodies. Well, no. No more.
We still do at this moment.
Right. Well.
In part of the country anyway.
Yeah, and part of the country anyway. And this idiot, death sentence, is looking like he's, if Trump decides not to run in 24, he's next in line. Why do people buy this bullshit? They lie about everything. And I guess it's a Putin thing, because that's what he does.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's next in line to among Republicans, remember, that they're a very, you know, they're not a majority of the country by any stretch of the imagination. And just because Biden is unpopular, it doesn't mean that DeSantis is popular.
DeSantis is pretty popular from what I understand. I mean, I'm hoping that
he's
the polling.
Among Republicans.
Right.
Not among normal people.
Not among normal people. Well, there you go. Certainly not among normal people. But even so-called normal people are showing they're not necessarily normal. I woke up this morning, Howie Klein, to a tweet, one of your tweets, and it was about the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Now, this is where we live, right? These are the candidates that, you know, you find and, you know, introduce to us at the Blue America PAC and urge us to support because they're progressives and they join the Progressive Caucus. Well, the Progressive Caucus endorsed, what's her name, Chantel Brown over Nina Turner?
They made a bunch of endorsements. Most of them were good and two of them were bad. So, yes, Chantel Brown was one, and then another one is Robert Garcia.
Right, we talked about Robert Garcia last week, and that was just wrong. Who makes the decisions on the part of the caucus who they endorse?
It's not the caucus, first of all. It's really important that our readers understand
yes.
this, our listeners understand
yes.
this. It's the caucus PAC. So the caucus itself is headed by Pramila. Pramila, her main interest is policy, and that's, you know, she's a policy head. That's all she ever wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So the PAC is headed by Mark Pocan, and that's where the problem is. Now, in reality, there are three co-chairs of the PAC, Pramila and Mark and Jamie Raskin. Jamie Raskin and Pramila, you know, they would kill me for me saying this, but Pramila's in India, so she's not going to hear this. and Jamie's probably got his head in a book somewhere.
Right.
And I don't care what Mark thinks.
Right.
You're about to find out. So, but Pramila and Jamie are not into this. I don't know why they're co-chairs. I literally don't know why they're co-chairs of the PAC. I don't understand why, since they let Mark run everything. Mark is not, we're not talking about a good guy here.
Mark Pocan of Wisconsin is who we're talking about. And in the last term, he and Pramila, were co-chairs of the caucus. And
right.
Pramila did away with the co-chair thing, but now he's the chair of the PAC, which is
PAC.
Separate.
So here's what, here's his story. I should just say he will deny everything I say.
Okay.
And I'm keeping myself to things that I'm 100% sure of. I'm not going to talk about some of the worst things about him. I'll save those for my book. But so this guy was just a kind of a garden variety, kind of liberal Wisconsin legislator.
Right.
And then Tammy Baldwin left the House to run for the Senate and won. She's in
yes.
the Senate now.
Yes, she is.
In Madison, Wisconsin, which is one of the most liberal cities in the country. So Pocan jumped in to run for that seat. He ran as a progressive, even though he hadn't really served in the legislature as a progressive. He was just, like I said, garden variety Democrat. Not good, not bad, not anything. He just was there. Then he gets to Congress, you know, saying that he's a progressive. And, you know, does anyone know what he is? I mean, people don't follow, you know, these kind of races in state legislatures. So people didn't know. So he rises in the ranks. And the thing about the Progressive Caucus is this. They had always been able to say they have the most members of any Democratic Party caucus in Congress. And that was their shtick that they hung their hats on.
Yeah.
But the new Dems started coming up. And they started catching up with the Progressive Caucus in terms of numbers of people and therefore in terms of influence. So Pocan got nervous, and the way he dealt with it was going to New Dems and saying to them, look, you're in a very blue district. You're going to get primaried from the left. Why don't you join the Progressive Caucus, and it'll be like insurance for you. We'll support you. We'll vouch for you as a progressive. And you don't have to come to the meetings. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to vote differently. Just join. Give me the money. Not personally, but as far as I know.
Right.
Just money, you know, is their dues, which
right.
I think is $5,000. So at this point, about 20% of the caucus are New Dems. Now, a New Dem is only about they're conservative. They take money from Wall Street and from corporate America. They're all corporatists. That's what they are. That's what a New Dem is.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to be, I don't want to say every single one of them, but they tend to be extremely corrupt. So
right.
now 20% of the Progressive Caucus, thanks to Mark Pocan, are New Dems.
Now, Howie, isn't there an overlap more between the New Dems and the Blue Dogs than
yes, almost
right?
every I think all but one blue dog is
also
a new Dem. Well.
There you go.
But
okay.
Those aren't the ones that are in the Progressive Caucus. The ones that are in the Progressive Caucus, although some of them are just as bad, most of them tend to be on the, you know, the not most horrible end of
okay.
the New Dem.
Gotcha.
So some of them are decent. Some of them are horrible. I mean, you know, but a New Dem is a New Dem. Whatever they are, they're not going to be fighting for the same issues that progressives are fighting for.
Right.
Even if there's one or two exceptions to the rule, in general, they're a bunch of bad characters. And when you say, why is the PAC endorsing these awful candidates? Part of that has to do with these New Dems having a lot of power now inside of the caucus. I mean, 20%, that's a very big a very big part of the caucus, and it's not a good part of the caucus. I should say, if the caucus is PAC, I want to emphasize the difference between the Progressive Caucus and the Progressive Caucus PAC. They're two different things. One is about policy, and the other is about a PAC is just about getting people
money.
Elected.
All right, and raising money and spending money to get them elected. A PAC deals with
That's
money, right?
Right?
So the caucus itself, they're the ones who deal with legislation. That's the policy part of it. The PAC part of it is the money side of politics.
Right, and they're both, and they're different, and they're run differently, and they're run by different. I mean, like I said, Pocan, who's not a very good character, is running the PAC. Pramila, who is a very good character, is running the caucus.
Well, I'll tell you something. There was this article again. You reference it in your piece that's up at Down with Tyranny from the Lever, which is David Sirota's new thing. It started as the Daily Poster.
Right. He didn't write it, though.
Right? No, it was written by someone named Julia Rock. Who I understand is supposed to be a good reporter. But the headline...
You know what? I don't know her that well, but her reporting in this particular case is superficial and didn't go deep enough and is not a thorough report. You know, I don't want to put her down. A lot of the stuff was very, very good.
Right.
But she was unable to see or didn't want to write about. I'm not sure, you know, but she didn't get into, she mentions the New Dems in passing at the very end of her story, but she doesn't seem to understand that that's where the problem lies. She also doesn't really differentiate between the caucus and the PAC, which is important.
It is.
She didn't. For example, I don't even know if she knows that the Nina Turner thing, maybe it's the most outrageous, but it's not a solo thing.
Right.
It's not the only thing that the PAC did. The PAC also endorsed Robert Garcia over Christina Garcia. I can't tell you what an egregious thing that was. I mean, you shouldn't be writing the story that she wrote without even at least mentioning it. And the fact is that Robert Garcia was a Republican operative, a very conservative Republican, and when he realized that in the area that he lives in, to get into higher office, you have to be a Democrat, he just switched his party registration. He didn't switch anything else, just his party registration. So he's now supposedly a Democrat. He's running against Christina Garcia, so they both have the same last name, but she's one of the best political leaders in the whole state of California. She's in the Assembly. She is exactly what she would be immediately right in the squad. She's exactly what, although she's so independent minded that maybe she's even too independent for that. But she's exactly what Congress needs. She is, you know, and the Progressive Caucus at PAC is a little bit afraid of her. She's really, really out there on the left. She is a. I don't want to use this word the wrong way.
Okay.
But. What do you say? A what on wheels? Some of them have told me that she's a potty mouth, and you know they can't see her in Congress because when she gets on something, she is like really, really, really strong, and she doesn't give up. She is like she's a dog with a bone in its mouth, and she's not giving.
And
it
you
back.
Know what? That sounds like Nina Turner too.
That's right.
She's a bit too aggressive for some of them.
Boom.
Right?
Exactly right.
Right?
And Christina has proven herself. I mean, she has gotten, you know, her main thing is climate environmental stuff. That doesn't mean she's not into other things really, really strongly. But this is what her specialty has been. And the bills that she's passed in the California legislature are now the model bills for the rest of the country.
Wow.
For people who want, for her biggest thing was clean air. How do you do it? You go to Christina Garcia's bill, and it'll teach you how to do it.
Right. Well, that's cool.
And you know, she had a fight like a mad dog. I'm saying these awful things. I hope she isn't listening. But she is amazing.
She's tough.
I can't think of someone better to be in Congress than Christina. Just like Nina. I mean, they're amazing women.
Right. But here's what's happening now. Today, as I'm seeing through my travels. So this Julia Rock did the story. It's levernews.com now is their new, or lever. Anyway, the headline is, so this is Pramila Jayapal's strategy? And then this subheadline says, Congressional Progressive Caucus refusal to back Nina Turner may be in line with the rest of Jayapal's strategy. Did she talk to Pramila? Did she get from her that this is her strategy? Because I find this really kind of offensive.
Yeah. Well, I did too. I sent it to Pramila and asked her to comment. I don't know how much I'm really, I mean, it was a kind of a private conversation, so I'm not really sure about how much I'm free to say about it.
Right.
But needless to say, she didn't agree. And like I said, Ms. Rock did not differentiate between the caucus and the PAC.
No, but let me tell you. So one of the regulars in the chat room when I came in was already there and said, oh, Howie's here today. Good. He's going to talk about the feckless Pramila. You know, and then
I don't believe it. I mean, look,
right.
I don't
I'm saying that people are.
I mean, one thing that we definitely disagree about was the hold the line strategy.
Yes.
She gave up too soon. And, you know, and I know a lot of people are angry at her for that. I am as well. I mean, I've written about it several times. I started a page just for the members of there were six members of Congress who. Mm-hmm. Abandoned her on that, the six members of the Progressive Caucus.
Right.
But she was told directly by Biden, or I shouldn't make that assumption. Let's put it like this. She was told by the White House.
Yes.
So I don't know if it was Biden or the Chief of Staff, but she was told by someone who had the authority to tell her that they had an agreement from Manchin that if they let the infrastructure bill go,
yeah.
that he would jump on the
other one.
Better.
Right.
So she was, and Pelosi also gave her word.
Right.
So here she is getting it from the President of the United States and
the
from
Speaker of the
Nancy
House.
Pelosi, both telling her that, you know, this is in the bag. You just got to let this go. And although AOC and Ilhan and some of the others didn't go along with it, the rest of the caucus did, and Pramila did. So that's my disagreement with Pramila. But, you know, that doesn't mean you write off one of the best members of Congress just because she did make a terrible mistake. But what would have happened? Would they really have gotten anywhere?
No. And you know what?
Pelosi was afraid of is that they would lose both the bills.
Right. And we probably would have. We probably would have.
Remember this. And a lot of times people who are screaming about Pramila don't want to confront something. Every single member of the Senate, including the ones that we love, like Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, for example, voted for it as well.
That's right. They all went along with it. So to put all the blame on her, yeah, I think
they went
ridiculous.
Along with it before Biden said that that he had an agreement from Manchin.
Right.
Which Manchin said he never made any agreement with Biden. So, you know, I like I said, I disagree with her on this issue. I'd still like to see her become speaker.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's what got me today, because she's being blamed. And I think this story, the way they positioned it, laying all the blame at her feet from making this decision, is wrong. And I hope that they make a correction.
They're not going to. I wrote to Sirota, and he didn't even respond.
Yeah, well, I tweeted at him, and he didn't respond.
And like I said, her reporting is I'm not saying her reporting is terrible, but it's not complete.
Right. I would love to see, you know, the votes, the vote count on that endorsement. And,
I would too, and they won't give it to anybody.
Oh, wow. Huh. Yeah.
I mean, first of all, most of the members don't even go and don't vote. So the vote is probably very, very, very small.
Right.
So, you know. And they'll do, you know, the California members all had reasons to get, not good ones, but they had reasons to get behind Robert Garcia.
Okay.
And, you know, I talked to a lot of them myself, and all it did was infuriate me. You know, I have this policy that I really try to keep to, which is don't let people who endorse other people ruin friendships. And I really try to hold that, and I try not to, you know, get into a position where I get so angry with someone that I rupture a relationship.
Right. Yeah. And I've done that a few times.
I'm sure you have. Right. We all make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Look at, I mean, you know, any day that they want to, the progressive, someone like Mark Pocan or anyone in the Progressive Caucus can say, oh, you know, we don't trust Howie. He was the one that turned us on to what's his name? That guy from Maine.
Jared Golden? No.
Jared Golden.
Jared
right.
Golden. Right.
Right. And you know, I was looking at Jared Golden's record in the state legislature, mm-hmm. which was impeccable.
Yep.
I was talking to him like constantly. He absolutely ran as a progressive. He, you know, told me over and over again that he was for every progressive issue. He wrote about it for my blog. I mean, he was as progressive as you could hope.
I remember.
He went to the first meeting of the Progressive Caucus. He went to them when he got into Congress. He went to the first meeting. He was there. Someone told me he was there less than 10 minutes. He walked up. He walked out and joined the Blue Dogs.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
I mean, everybody makes a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And sometimes they lie. But the thing is, Pramila Jayapal has been great from the get-go.
He had years of service in the state legislature.
Uh-huh.
That's not a lie.
Right.
He wrote Maine's most progressive legislation. Like
wow.
For example, raising the minimum wage. I mean, he did the stuff.
Yeah.
It's not so much a lie as it is like some kind of a change. What I think happened, and of course he will never say this, was that Steny Hoyer got a hold of him, said to him, you will never be reelected if you think that you're going to run again as a progressive. It's not going to happen. Here's why. Look at this. And all of a sudden, he went along with it. Now he's one of the worst Democrats in the House.
And can I just point out something? That seems to happen an awful lot. Like you have Jim Clyburn, who I rail against all the time because I think he's one of the worst, who is a conservadem. That's my word. But he's always, I think, sticking his nose in and sabotaging the progressives' position on whatever it is. I guess he stuck his nose in this Ohio endorsement too, but he does that.
He's not a member of the Progressive Caucus.
No,
know what role he would have.
Right, right, okay.
Although he could call up a few people, but he's definitely a huge Chantel Brown supporter
exactly.
and has
yes,
been
yes.
all along. He hates Nina Turner.
Yep.
The other, the source of money for Chantel Brown is coming right out of Israel, literally. The Israeli government surreptitiously through the Adelson family is putting money, huge amounts of money, into Chantel Brown. And that's, that's a tragedy.
Yeah.
And no one's allowed to talk about it.
Wow. Yeah. You see, and that's the thing. They talk about, the Democrats were a big tent, except the Republican wing of the Democratic Party is not that tolerant of the progressive wing of the party.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's annoying.
And that's, that's something that, Pramila happened to warn me about today, is that they're, are stepping up their energy to destroy the progressive wing.
And it looks that way. And, yeah, and I think, I hate to say it, this Lever article plays right into that. So I'm pissed off about it.
Before we go, though, I do want to mention that people who want to follow up with what I just said about where Chantel's money is coming from, and my accusation of it coming from Israel from various sources, should look up Mark Melman, who is a top Democratic consultant, and he is running a super PAC that tried to defeat Marie Newman, for example, that went after Alan Grayson, that goes after progressives that they think they can beat. And he is putting the money and the energy into defeating both Nina Turner and I'm not 100% sure about Christina yet, but I hear that, but I don't know that. Whereas with Nina Turner, I do know it.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. And that's what people need to be aware of. You know, they talk a good game, but they're still politicians. And they are, I had no proof. You're the more the inside person than I am. But I believed, at least for the last couple of years, that they're really trying to upend the progressives. And this is just part of that. The other story that we don't have time to get to, but we've talked about it before. Now, all of a sudden, it's news that Dianne Feinstein isn't all there.
Well, the real news is there is that her colleagues are speaking out about it.
Mm.
So, yes, people who watch that kind of thing, she doesn't go out in public. So it's very, very hard to get any solid evidence. But now that her colleagues, both former staffers, members of the Senate, members of the House, you know, from the California delegation, mm-hmm. now they're saying, yes, she's off her rocker. She doesn't, you know, people say, I've known her for 15 years. She didn't recognize me. I had to tell her 6 times during a 2-hour conversation who I am.
Yeah.
Which she kept getting. Yeah. She's not a... You know, and then you get Nancy Pelosi defending her and saying how respected she is and how wonderful she is and how fabulous she is. And, you know, in Nancy Pelosi's world, they live in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
In that world, well, yeah, she's beloved and respected.
And they go to the early bird special together. Look, I'm far from ageist. I mean, I'm not a kid myself. But enough already. There you go. I would, too. But I'm still on the air. Yeah, I think this is one of the Democratic Party's big problems, is these older people who keep hanging on and will not give up the power. That's
because
the problem.
They think they're what is the word? Essential, critical.
Please,
you know, they're the essential person, and if they leave, everything falls apart.
Oh,
and,
God!
And certainly both Pelosi and Feinstein feel that way.
Unbelievable. Well, totally believable, but it shouldn't be. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. And when you're there, check out the Blue America PAC page, because it is primary season and we need to, it's hard to say it. We need to elect progressives to take back the progressive caucus and kick out the new Dems.
Right. And on the Down with Tyranny blog, I should have mentioned this. We have a down, not a Blue America, but a Down with Tyranny page on Act Blue. And anyone who donates $100 to Nina, up to 5 people, I'm matching the money. So I'm willing to give $500 to Nina for 5 donations of 100 each.
Oh, nice. Okay, good. So downwithtyranny.com will get you that information?
Yeah, there's the post that I just did, I think, last night about Nina Turner. It's all there. There's a link to it.
Gotcha.
And all the information.
Okay, great. Howie Klein.
And the word I was looking for was indispensable person.
Oh, okay.
The indispensable. Person. I said critical, but yep. It's indispensable.
Legends in their own minds.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Howie. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye. All right. So with that, we're done. I'm not shy about criticizing the Democrats when it's necessary. I think putting all the criticism on Pramila Jayapal here, barking up the wrong tree. The wrong tree. That's all I'll say. All right. I guess we're done. So tomorrow is Friday. Marcy Wheeler. Marcy Wheeler is coming back tomorrow. Did you hear? There have been very few trials, like complete jury trials of January 6th defendants. But there was one today, a man from Ohio, who said, I was only following Donald Trump's, the president's orders. And the jury trial, found him guilty, unanimous on all 6 counts. That's not going to hold up. So Marcy Wheeler, Empty Wheel, has been listening to every one of these court appearances, trials. She will bring us up to date on the latest that's happening there. And I will ask her if she's still has faith in Merrick Garland, because she's one of the few. And I trust Marcy Wheeler. I trust her judgment, her news judgment. So we'll see where she is. All right. So that's how we'll end the week. Thank you for listening to newcomers. Welcome. Come on back. We do this every day, weekdays, 5 days a week. Thanks. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow. All right. I'll leave you with the news. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's now been 50 days since Vladimir Putin sent Russian troops to invade Ukraine. U.S.
It's time
Sorry,
for Nicole.
I hit the wrong button.
What's
happens
news
sometimes.
NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's now been 50 days since Vladimir Putin sent Russian troops to invade Ukraine. U.S. officials say the strength of the Russian military appears to be waning against the Ukrainian resistance. And now this. Ukraine is claiming that one of the Russian Navy's most important warships, the Moskva,
has been struck by two of its Neptune anti-ship missiles. This is important because this is the same ship that, back in the earliest days of the war, demanded the surrender of 13 Ukrainian troops who were on Snake Island. And those 13 Ukrainians responded with the now iconic Russian warship, "Go F yourself." I have to break in here because the Russians have admitted that... That their battleship sunk. All right, back to the pre-recorded news. Early fears were that those Ukrainian troops were all killed before they were thankfully discovered alive. So hitting this ship is not only a military victory, but a symbolic one as well. Sources with links to the Russian military claim the ship rolled over after being struck and has since sunk. Russia, though, says the ship was evacuated due to a fire. Sure. On the ground, mixed reports are coming out of Mariupol. Ukraine says the last remaining defenders of the city were recently able to join forces, thereby bolstering their resistance against Russia. Russia, of course, on the other hand, said 1,000 Ukrainian Marines who had held out in Mariupol surrendered, and that Russian forces had taken control of the city. The truth is that we don't really know what's happening in Mariupol. And all this is happening as President Biden on Wednesday told Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky that the U.S. was sending an additional $800 million worth of weapons, ammunition, and other security assistance. The Pentagon said those would include howitzers, helicopters, and Humvees. Back in New York, police on Wednesday arrested a 62-year-old man on suspicion of setting off smoke grenades and shooting 10 people in a Brooklyn subway Tuesday morning. Today, Frank James makes his first court appearance. He was charged in federal court with violating a law that prohibits terrorist and other violent attacks against a mass transportation system. If convicted, he could spend life in prison. But an interesting side note on how he was captured. Authorities believe that it was the suspect himself who called in a tip to the Crime Stoppers hotline with his location. The shooting left at least 29 people with injuries, ranging from gunshot wounds to smoke inhalation, but none of the injuries appear to be life-threatening. Hi. Again, from the Not Again files, sadly, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, police on Wednesday released video of a white officer fatally shooting a black man. The footage shows the unidentified police officer pulling over Patrick Lioya on April 4th. You can see the two men struggle. Lioya runs away. The officer tackles him. Then the officer can be heard shouting, "Let go of the taser," before he fatally shot Lioya in the head. Several hundred people protested outside police headquarters on Wednesday. Civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump, who has been retained by the family, called for the officer to be fired and charged, saying the video showed, quote, "This was an unnecessary, excessive, and fatal use of force against an unarmed black man." So if you plan on getting on a plane, train, or bus in the U.S. anytime in the next few weeks, you're going to still need to keep that mask handy, as the mandate has been extended for 15 days until May 3rd. The CDC said the order will remain in place to allow the agency to, quote, "assess the potential impact the rise of cases has on severe disease, including hospitalizations and deaths, and healthcare system capacity." The U.S. is now averaging 38,345 new COVID cases each day, which is a lot, but this daily rate is still one of the lowest since mid-July. So we already know inflation is bad. In the year ending in March, food prices rose 8.8%. That's the biggest 12-month increase since 1981. Serious questions are being raised about Senator Dianne Feinstein's ability to continue doing her job. The San Francisco Chronicle today reporting that one California member of Congress recently met with the 88-year-old senator and was so unnerved by their conversation that this congressman is now raising concerns with colleagues to see if an intervention to persuade her to retire was possible. So now, four U.S. senators, including three Democrats, as well as three former Feinstein staffers and this California Democratic member of Congress told the Chronicle that her memory is rapidly deteriorating. They said it appears she can no longer fulfill her job duties without her staff doing much of the work required to represent nearly 40 million people of California. So we know the polling for Joe Biden is bad. A new Quinnipiac poll is pretty devastating to the Democrats. But I'm going to tell you about another poll that the New Republic released this morning. It shows that large majorities of both parties are worried about the near-term future of American democracy. Here are four striking results. 57% of Republicans say they view January 6th more as an act of patriotism than as an insurrection. 62% of Democrats say, quote, improving border security and restricting illegal immigration would strengthen democracy. 3/5 of Republicans think mask and vaccine mandates are a serious threat to democracy. And majorities of both parties view new election laws giving state legislatures more power to determine the winner of the presidential election in their state as a serious threat to democracy. That last one is the only one that gives me a glimmer of hope. Here in Florida, the governor unveiled a new congressional map for the state on Wednesday. It creates four additional Republican-leaning seats while eliminating at least two districts now held by Black Democrats in North and Central Florida. Scary times indeed. And the roller coaster ride continues in Kentucky, where the Republican-led General Assembly voted on Wednesday to override Democratic Governor Andy Beshear's veto of House Bill 3. That's the latest restrictive measure that opponents say essentially ends abortion access by making it illegal to mail abortion pills, raising standards for minors seeking abortions, and requiring a public database of the names and addresses of physicians who perform abortions, among other restrictions. Several Democratic lawmakers tried to appeal to their colleagues not to overturn the veto, including Representative Rachel Roberts, a Democrat who shared that she was raped at the age of 14. The state ultimately voted 31-6 to override Beshear's veto, and because of an emergency clause, it takes effect immediately. With all the talk of people committing voter fraud in the 2020 election, it seems like the only cases that have been exposed are Republicans, like this one. Remember the former guy's chief of staff, Mark Meadows? Well, he was dropped from North Carolina's voter rolls amid an investigation into whether or not Meadows fraudulently registered and voted in the state in that 2020 presidential election. The New York Times, now also reporting on the story, says that Meadows and his wife, Deborah, registered to vote in the state in September of 2020, using an address where they never lived. They now vote in Virginia. Meadows, who represented a Western North Carolina district before joining the former guy's White House, helped spread Trump's false claims that the election was stolen from him through voter fraud. And finally, people were curious about the long silence from Elon Musk after he announced he wouldn't be joining Twitter's board after becoming its largest shareholder by amassing a 9.2% stake in the company. Well, the other shoe dropped. On Thursday morning, the world's wealthiest human launched a $43 billion takeover bid for Twitter. According to an SEC filing published this morning, the Tesla CEO sent a letter to Twitter offering to buy 100% of the platform for $54.20 a share in cash. That's a good deal. But Musk indicated that if the sale goes through, he would make sweeping changes to the platform, saying, quote, Twitter needs to be transformed as a private company. Twitter has extraordinary potential. I will unlock it. Sure you will. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.